For the Rock Voices interview, I'm just going to be going through this list of questions. Yep. And so, can you give your full name, date of birth, where you are originally, and then your education?
My name is Dr. Kurt Pitt, Kurt W., Kurt Walter Pitlug. I was born May 11th, 1959, which makes me incredibly old. I was born in upstate New York, and this is where I graduated from high school. I did my undergraduate work at Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, because my father taught art history at Edinburgh, which is why I went into this field as well. I got my master's degree and PhD from Penn State University. I've taught in several institutions. I taught at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. I taught at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. I taught at Mesa State College in Grand Junction, Colorado before coming here. And I've been here, I think, for 25, 26 years now. It's been a long time.
All right. And then, so what era were you here from? Like, essentially, like, when did you start? When did you start again?
Teaching?
Yes.
I started teaching here in 1996, although my first teaching gig was in 1990.
All right. And do you have any, like, thoughts or ideas about any transitions that happened to the school while you were here?
Yes, particularly with student housing is probably the biggest of the physical changes that have taken place on campus. All the old brick dormitories were removed. In fact, Patterson is the only one that survives, and it's no longer a dormitory. But that was part of the competition of competing, I should say, with other state institutions. The Rec Center is new since I have been here. Certainly the Smith Student Center is new. And ATS building is new. Those are the biggest physical changes that have taken place. The more important physical changes that have taken place off of campus is the town itself. Slippery Rock was a really depressing little college town when I arrived here. You could have literally walked down Main Street on a Saturday night and not seen a car. We now have restaurants, bars. It just has developed into a really comfortable university town. But those are the biggest changes.
All right. What department were you hired into when you started here?
This department, the art department. All right. Although the college has changed. When I was hired here, the art department was in the College of Arts and Sciences. They split those two. Science has its own college now, and now we're in the College of Liberal Arts.
Okay. Did you always work in the arts building?
In this building?
Yes.
I never work in this building. My office is in this building. Oh. I have taught in just about every building on campus. Being the only art historian, it's really any empty space that's left over, I get to teach it. Unless it's my big mass lecture classes and I need a big auditorium.
Okay. What were your first impressions of the university when you started here?
I had impressions of this university when I was an undergrad student at Edinburgh. We always considered Slippery Rock the jock school. This is where all the athletes went. So I was a little kind of hesitant and reluctant when I first started teaching here, but then understood that we had a really tight-knit art department, which was relatively supported by the administration. And I like having a small department. I came from Edinburgh, which was one of the biggest art departments in our school system. And I found that you kind of got lost there. Here, I get to know a lot of students' names just because they're smaller class. Well, my classes are small, but studio classes are relatively small. But I was encouraged by what I experienced when I came here.
All right. And through your experiences here, do you think the campus has gotten better?
Yes, considerably better. way more activities for students today. When I came to the department, there was no art club. I started, well, restarted the Martha Gault Art Society, as it was called. Had been dormant for decades, a couple decades anyway, and I had been the president of the art club at Edinburgh. And I knew this was important. Get students involved. It looks good on your resume. For instance, we have a student gallery now, which we had not almost the entire time I've taught here. Our student gallery is, what, 3-4 years old? Is that old? The Martha Gault Art Gallery has changed. It used to be in the Eisenberg Classroom Building down on Lower Campus. That's where it was located when I was the gallery director when I was hired. Here, but we got bumped out of there for a computer studio and moved over by the police station in a little brick double wide, which was just the most god-awful place to have a gallery. But we're in the Maltby Center now, and this is a 100% improvement over the gallery spaces we've had in the past.
And are you a part of any committees or active clubs on campus?
Not recently. I was really active with that when I was younger. I was the advisor for the chess club. I was the advisor for WSRU, the radio station. I had my own radio program, Underground Oldies with Dr. Pitluga, which came on at 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't think anybody ever listened to it. I'm sure there are other things, but at the moment I can't remember. Those are the two that come to mind. I served on the President's Commission for Women as well when I first got here.
All right. Any big accomplishments at the university or college that you can think of at the moment?
You mean my personal accomplishments?
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to retire. That's my biggest personal accomplishment. Just educating thousands, and I literally mean thousands of students who have come through Slippery Rock. I average between 300 and 350 students a semester over a 26-year period. I'm not a mathematician, but I know that adds up to quite a few students.
All right. Proudest moments or experiences?
One of my proudest moments was bringing a big arts conference to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, right before COVID hit. I arranged a 4-day art event with over 700 art historians and artists from all around the country, internationally as well. That was one of my proudest moments while I've been working here.
Okay. Any really fun teacher moments that you can think of?
My other important contribution to Slippery Rock is I was responsible for helping to organize President Warren Smith's inauguration when he became president. But this led to doing an exhibit of historical buildings on campus in Old Main. If you walk through all 3 floors of Old Main, we took postcards, architectural drawings, increased their scale, and had them framed and matted. And it should continue. I haven't done it in a while, so some of the newer buildings aren't up there. But President Warren Smith was really interested in the architectural history of Slippery Rock. And since that was my background, architectural history, it was a delight to work on it. What was that other question?
You're all good. It's any best teaching moments or fun ones that you can remember?
I think my most enjoyable teaching moments is taking students overseas. When we can stand in front of an actual work of art that you guys have seen, my students have seen in the classroom, and actually look at it in the flesh. That, I tell you what, is makes me proud that my students are that excited. To see things like that.
Could you explain your membership history with the Southeast College Art Conference Board?
Yes, I am no longer on the board, but this was the conference I was talking about in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
It was this, what they call it, CCAC, conference.
Oh, right.
But I'm no longer, because I'm retiring, I'm just no longer a board member there. Okay. But I was for many years.
Okay. Let's see here. So, wood, brick, stone, and steel. Were you a part of that? Like, were you one who helped bring that about?
That came about through my investigation into the architectural history of Slippery Rock, and knowing that we had a beautiful chapel on campus built of stone. There's no way in hell that they would ever be able to afford to build anything like that. And I had known, because I went to Edinburgh, my father taught at Edinburgh, there was an important architectural building up there that burned down that had a clock tower. And that's what gave me the inspiration for putting together this exhibition about the architectural history of Slippery Rock. I used to give a presentation on this, but I wanted to raise funds, find those old stones, and build a tower. Of course, it never happened, but that was my ambition.
Okay, so you were just asked to help out because of your architectural knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. Did you study architecture?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wrote my dissertation on Charles E. Clouder, who was a collegiate architect. He designed the Cathedral of Learning down in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Who were leaders, like presidents, deans, anyone in the union, when you first came to campus, that were making an impression, like that really stuck with you?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
There any like big names on campus that were that made any impressions on you?
You mean like faculty, administrators?
Yeah, president, dean, any faculty, things like that.
Probably the most influential one was President Warren Smith, who just recently passed away last year. I had great interest in the arts and, as I told you, architectural history of Slippery Rock. In fact, for his inauguration, he and I climbed through most of the attics of the older buildings on campus, which was really cool.
That sounds fun. So you guys, what do you mean by you climb through the attics?
You get up above, like, the dormitory rooms in North Hall.
Okay.
There's an attic space above West Gym, which is just absolutely fascinating. Because in it, I found a series of terracotta blocks, decorative molded blocks, that were, I suppose, intended for some place in that building, but were never installed. And I always thought this would be so cool to get this, because it's an arch, a decorative arch, to get it put maybe in the Smith Student Center, or maybe in Old Main, somewhere where it could be appreciated instead of just collected dust up there. This big globe is from North Hall. This is what I found up there. Most fascinating was being up in the attic of Old Main, because I could get right up in the clock tower, and you're standing with those four clock faces, but you're on the inside, and it's just really cool. And I know when I went to Penn State, they used to take alumni and alumni weekend, they would take let people go up into the clock tower to do that. I thought that'd be really cool to do here at Old Main.
Yeah, you know, so you probably know the most about all the little architectural secrets that the school has.
There is a few that North. This is not the original North Hall building. The dormitory here. It was designed by Sidney Falk from Newcastle, who designed Old Main, designed West Gym, designed what is now Caruth Rizzo Hall. But this was kind of an exotic building with these massive wooden porches on the outside. It was just absolutely stunningly gorgeous. It burnt down in 1936. It caught fire and burnt down. The original North Hall, or I'm sorry, South Hall, which is where, what do they call it now? It's a safety building, I think.
I think they named it the safety building now.
But that was there. What I find interesting is when they do work where the old chapel was, they're always running into the foundation of the chapel. And again, just a shame. A lot of the stained glass windows survive from the chapel, and you can see some in the alumni house and in Old Main.
Okay.
So these are some artifacts that have survived from the original campus. The other thing I found fascinating is that there are coal tunnels underneath the entire campus. There's a whole network of coal tunnels. Because this is how, and we still power our power plant with coal. I stumbled across them again. I was doing research for the historical images. So I was looking for blueprints or any kind of drawings I could find in the physical plant on campus. And was just really surprised that these things are underneath there.
Do they span the just the campus or the entire town?
They go way beyond campus. If you go out 173 heading towards Grove City, soon as you get up on the second hill, you'll see a little road that's called Coal Road. Mm-hmm. And that's where was kind of the main place where they were mining the entrances into these coal shafts, I would call them. It'd be cool to get in and like check them out.
That would be a cool trip for the school to take people underneath the campus in the coal mines.
Yeah.
Which abroad trip would you say is the most memorable for you?
Abroad trip?
Yes.
I would have to say Peru. Visiting Machu Picchu, which I've done 3 times with students, still just takes my absolute breath away when I see it. South America, people are just really friendly. And I know my students enjoyed it. I mean, I've got a lot of good experiences in a lot of different countries, but that's the one that I'll probably take to the grave with me as being my favorite one.
Okay. So you've been on a whole bunch of abroad trips, and how did that come about, essentially?
My first dean, Dean Zuzak, who was the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, asked me if I wanted to do a trip to London, take students to London. And yeah, I'm going to go. And ever since then, I think this going to Spain this coming Sunday is my 17th trip with students overseas. So I've really taken advantage of it. And this is another thing I really enjoy about Slippery Rock is the university knows that these educational experiences are important. A lot of our students are coming from the rural areas and be lucky to get to Pittsburgh, much less, you know, set foot in London or Paris or Madrid or Barcelona. So I find that they're important. They're important learning experiences for students.
Okay. Were there any people here on campus, like the dean, that influenced your time here?
The deans?
Or any person like the dean, how he helped you set off your abroad trips and things like that?
The one faculty member that had a big impact on me as far as student travel was concerned was our former ceramics professor, Richard Wukic. He's the one who would take bus trips with students every semester. And I inherited that, and I did that for 15 years. Every semester we'd go to Philadelphia or New York City or Chicago or Washington DC or Detroit. Eventually students I think got tired of doing it, and because I tried to get a last one I tried to organize was to New York City. $85 for one night in New York City. It includes your hotel, entry fees into the museums. I got like 3 people to sign up. And we're thinking about maybe doing it in the fall. Trying to reinstitute it, because I think you guys, students just loved these things when they were actually happening. I mean, you could go to, many students haven't been to New York City. And it's the art capital of the world. That's why I was disappointed I could only get 3 people sign up for it. But we'll hopefully get, I think it's a 45-seat bus. We leave on really early Friday morning. We get into New York City around 9-10 o'clock in the morning. Boom, we are right to a museum. We do a couple of museums on Friday, and then on Saturday we do the Metropolitan Museum. Then we get back on the bus and we drive our asses home. But it's a great experience. I wish it was longer. It's just money to stay in New York. It's not cheap. And our department put a lot of our department budget into these trips. And we'll see if the department wants to reinvest in those trips again. I'm really hoping that we can fill a bus to New York City in the fall.
I'd go to New York City.
Yeah, I think it's been long enough since, you know, the last one that all the students that are here now never even knew we took bus trips anywhere.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. Major events or activities while you were here, like academic, cultural, weather events, national events that had like a big impact on Slippery Rock?
Since I have been here, I don't know. We had 3 Black Hawk helicopters land on campus this semester.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it was way out by the soccer fields.
Oh.
But there's been no major good or violent events that have, you know, kind of transformed, except for COVID. I mean, COVID affected the world. It affected certainly you guys as students. It affected faculty. But that was probably the most altering thing, because now we do a lot of our meetings on Zoom. We never did Zoom meetings before COVID. Now, like, I'm on the curriculum committee. We don't get together in a classroom anymore. We just get together on Zoom. So that's probably the biggest transformation that's taken place since I've been here.
Yeah, I remember I was in your class and then COVID hit and we did the rest of it.
But as far as that, there been no really, you know, thank God, let me knock on some wood over here, no school shootings. And I hope there never is one on campus, but that's transformed us as well. You know, you got to take a class on active shooters now, not just for the university, but for high schools, grade schools, got to do this now. But COVID definitely the most transforming event on campus.
Okay. Anything that you will miss about SRU once you're done?
Students. I am going to miss students a lot. That's what makes me get up every morning to come in and teach. You can ask any faculty member. There's a lot of bureaucratic administrative stuff that every faculty member has to do. That I am not going to miss one bit. But students, I'm going to miss students. I mean, it's the whole reason I got into teaching. On the other hand, it's going to be nice not to have to get up every day and go teach.
You had like the earliest classes.
8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm not going to miss 8 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Any special plans after leaving SRU?
I want to do some domestic traveling. There's a lot of places in the United States I've never seen and I want to see. I'm going to do a little painting. I want to get back. I haven't painted in a long time and I want to start painting again. I want to come over and play in the mud down at the ceramic studio. I took, I think, 3 or 4 classes in undergrad in ceramics and I really enjoyed it. But things like that, I might take maybe some Spanish classes. But stuff like, I plan on being in Slippery Rock after I retire. I like it here. My brother lives in close to here and I like having family nearby. But traveling, domestic travel, and I would like to, with my wife, go back to Taiwan, where she's from, and see Asia again. That would be cool.
It sounds pretty cool, yeah. All right, and then any words of wisdom that you would want to leave here, at least for students?
For students? Find your passion. Find what you want to do for the rest of your life. That's important. Because it shouldn't be work. It should be something you enjoy doing. And that's why you're here. That's why students are here. To find that passion, to find that thing you're going to do for the rest of your life, or at least like me, to get retirement age. So that's my biggest advice, is the passion.
And that's how you would want them to remember you as, someone who's like passionate?
Yeah, I would like to think that I would like to be remembered as contributing to this department. Again, I'm the only one who's not a studio professor here. And the drawback of that is I'm jealous studio professors get to know their students in much greater intimacy than I do. I mean, you guys come into the art history class, you sit there, 50 minutes later, boom, you're gone. But contributing to the department and trying to enrich students' lives through art history, which I would hope will make you better artists.
All right. And then anything else you want to mention?
I wish they would put a faculty lounge on campus. That's what I would like.
Actually, that's a pretty good ending point, too.
Okay.